that unused cabin, a vacant lot, or a home that's no longer in use. Those properties can help ensure a future for your community radio station. Real estate donations can come with tax benefits for you and lasting value for KPFK. It's easy to start. Just visit kpfk.org/real estate or call 1-844-277-4663 and learn how your gift of property can make a meaningful difference.
FM, KPFK, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my co-host and attorney specializing in automotive law, Motorcrest. That's like watercress, but it has a motor in it. Motor Press Guild member and owner of two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, hey, Mark. Good to be here with you again on The Car Show.
Always good to have you. Also joining us is industry veteran, senior analyst and at iccars.com, host of the nationally syndicated The Drive with Lauren and Carl radio show, and former sub-editor, this is my favorite of it, part of his resume, at Super Street, Carl Brower. Welcome, Carl.
Hey, good to be on with both of you once again, talking cars on The Car Show. Remember, you might not know this, but LA is the car capital of the world. Just want you to know.
It is the center of the universe. That's right.
Yes. Yes.
That's a year-round car scene here. Not everybody has that. Miami has it, but they don't have any roads. You know, all the roads are straight, unless you go to Homestead. That has a nice infield road course. But, yeah, everything else is straight there. Just, okay, we're going to do a 90-degree turn here at this stoplight. Yeah, we've got it all, man. So be grateful. Be thankful. Thank your lucky stars or whatever stars you believe in, Hollywood stars. I don't know. Okay, coming up, calendar section, the LA Auto Show going on right now at the LA Convention Center. You can get into that show for, $25? Is that? Yeah, that's $25. Right. Bucks.
New
you
pricing.
Need to buy tickets ahead of time. What, Michelle?
New pricing.
Oh, is that it's, lower?
Yes, that's lower, and it's called all-in pricing. So they're trying that out for the first year.
What does all-in mean?
You have to go to laautoshow.com to figure that out.
All one word, laautoshow.com. We'll check that out. Yeah, it's running now through December 30th. I have found that the best day to go is Monday because there's nobody there. It's like you have your own private Idaho there. It's really nice. And there's, yeah, parking is probably going to be $25 to get into that too. Unless you take public transportation, the Blue Line stops pretty much right there and you can walk across the street. So and parking at go
Sorry.
Early.
Yeah, go early. That's the way to do it.
It's fun. What do we have this year at the auto show? They're offering test drives, something called the Hall of Spark, spelled with a Q, the Underground. I don't know what any of that is. Do you guys know what that is?
Well, it's on the website. Where did I put my phone? But they've had this Hall of Spark before, and the Underground before. So these are two exhibits that apparently fans really like. So
No. I know what it is. I know what it is. The Hall of Spark. It's the company is called Spark. That's SPARQ, and they have one of those diagnostic tools that you plug into your car's OBD2, that's onboard diagnostics 2. I think it came out like 97, 98. But anyways, all cars in the 21st century have this plug under the dash. And you plug that in and it will read all the information about your car and give you all this information. And there's plenty of them out there. There's multiple brands and multiple ways to do this. But Spark claims they've got like the best one that it can pull all this information. It's very consumer friendly to read it. And they've got predictive capabilities looking at future services the car might need and all. There's actually know the guys there. They were at SEMA, and I have to say, I'm impressed with what they've got there. And anyways, the Hall of Spark is not a hallway full of these diagnostic tools. To promote their product, they are bringing in all sorts of crazy display cars, a lot of Fast and Furious cars, and a lot of the cars from games like for Forza and For Speed and Gran Turismo. But anyways,
is that, you can go is that to underground Hall of- in is that in Kentia Hall?
Yes, it's that kind of like sub area that's there that you can go to. And all sometimes I think I think I've seen you know Galpin used to have that. Didn't they use that place for the display? And
that's
all that
right
stuff. But anyways,
Galpin did.
Anyways, it should be quite a collection of cool cars, and you can learn about the diagnostic tool that they've got that they're just putting on the market, and it's got a lot of advanced capabilities.
And we are not sponsored by Hollis.
No, we are not.
By the way, nope. So. Yeah,
I am impressed what their thing is. Just genuinely, I'm impressed with what I saw.
All right, good. Isn't there a new OBD2 port in the last several years? Like the actual connection? So if you have one of the old scanners, you can't plug it into a newer car, or is that?
That might be true. That might be true, although there's probably an adapter that would make, you know, stuff. Like if you had an older reader and you had a newer car, you probably could find some kind of an adapter. But certainly this one will be for the newer cars, yeah.
All right. The manufacturers that will be at the show this year, we're going to read them off alphabetically. You know, people say car shows are dead. Not after you listen to this list. Alfa Romeo, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Ford, Genesis, Honda, Hyundai, Jeep, Kia, Lincoln, Lucid, Maserati, Nissan, Ram, Rivian, Subaru, Toyota, Volkswagen, and Volvo. I noticed that Zimmer is not there. But, you know, that would have been A to Z. But that's a pretty good representation of car makers. I mean, everybody complains Jeep, Porsche's not there anymore. But I think the Porsche dealer group, Southern California dealers, are going to be
the downtown LA Porsche dealer does have an exhibit.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not going to have anything like, you know, a 919 or anything like when Porsche sponsored a hall. But they're going to have some cool cars.
Yes.
Porsches are cool. Just ask Carl Brower.
I can validate. Porsches are cool.
Porsches are cool and fun.
Sometimes they're even air cool. Anyways, keep going.
Thanks very much. Be here all week. I think all of those names that I just listed off are actual. It's the manufacturers of, apart from Porsche with the dealer group. I think the names that I read off are manufacturer displays. So it should be pretty cool. Jeep always has that very thrilling off-road ramp that you can get a ride in. And you go up really steeply and you go down really steeply. It's kind of thrilling. And then, Michelle, I think you said that there's an opportunity to drive a whole bunch of cars too, right? Yeah, test drives. Test drives from just about everybody listed.
There's going to be that. Alpha, Cadillac, Chevy, Chrysler. Dodge, Faraday Future, that's an EV, Fiat, Ford, Hyundai, Jeep, Kia, Lucid, another EV maker, Nissan, Ram, Rivian, of course, another EV maker, Subaru, Toyota, VW, and Volvo will all be there. And remember, Stellantis did miss last year. For some reason, they pulled out at the last minute. So this is great. They're back with their lineup back for test drives.
I would love to know what Faraday Future is going to have there. I mean, they had that big deal where they showed off. Remember, it was just like a crossover utility minivan. No, it was a minivan, and they tried to make it out to be like a Rolls Royce or something. And everybody's looking at it going, it's just a minivan. And God bless them.
Let's see what they have at the LA Auto Show. I guess Carl and I are both going to the preview for media. So we can report back on what Faraday Future has on the floor.
All right, good. They spent, $3.5 billion making that first Faraday Future car, which I think they've managed to crank out 16 of those, and they gave them to employees and influencers, or maybe sold them. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you know who Scout is? Scout's another EV maker that's a newbie on the block, basically. And they're based in Michigan, outside of Detroit, and they're supposedly going to have a special exhibit at the LA Auto Show. And the website did not have details on what it will be, but if you like adventure, outdoor sort of type EVs, you might want to go take a look at Scout's exhibit.
They might have the range extender there, which is like a hybrid, nice. Which would be interesting to see. I have not seen it yet, and they did not show it when they had the Scout introduction last year, was it? I think it was last year. It was a while ago. It's an interesting brand. Of course, everybody remembers Scout, the Scout, what was it, part of International. And they made these great, I don't want to say Jeep-like things. They made four-wheel drive vehicles that were, you know, they had and still have a cult following. So there's when Stellantis bought the rights to International, they also, somebody looked down the list and say, oh, we have the name Scout. We can do something with that. Let's make a car company out of it. And they put our old buddy Scott Keogh in charge of that, former public relations guy. don't bring that up if you meet him, but
It's not Stellantis. It's Volkswagen, right? That got
Volkswagen. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Volkswagen has Scout.
It is Volkswagen.
Because that's why Scott Keogh, from formerly of Audi, is now
formerly of Audi. Scott. That's correct. Thank you for straightening me out. So anyway, look forward to seeing that and whatever else they have. I know that Hyundai will show, and I saw at a secret debut the Crater concept, an XRT concept. You know, XRT is the name of their off-road kind of line where they'll put a bunch of stuff. Honda has it. Other companies have it where they sort of make a typical crossover vehicle jacked up a little bit and looks a little bit more off-road ready. But the XRT concept is this really takes that to an extreme. So have a look at that. Hopefully Hyundai will have that on its show stand there at the auto show. Sometimes they do a big debut for the press, but they don't have anything for, the average for the public days of the auto show. So I'm hoping that they do that. I think they will. I have no reason to believe that they won't do it. Also, Hyundai will have the IONIQ 6 in, as in Namyang, which is where their proving ground is in Korea. And that looks like a kind of a performance-y thing. Either you love the IONIQ 6 or you don't. I don't know what to make of that shape. You could make a car into any shape. Why make it into that one? I'm sure they had reason for it.
Mark's not a fan.
Not a fan. Okay, and we're still in the... What's that?
Don't forget about our friends at Kia, who will have the big reveal of the 2027 Telluride.
And yep, they're fresh.
We got discussed. The seat. Yeah.
This is the world unveiling of it.
Yep. We all put in our 2 cents on that, and I think I was outvoted 2-1 that Michelle and Carl liked it. So have a look at it when you go to the LA Auto Show. Let us know what you think. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tonight, in a couple of hours, Lions Automobilia Foundation will present the inaugural Lions Automotive Art and Design Experience, a celebration of creativity, craftsmanship, and car culture. One-of-a-kind event will take place tonight from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. and will bring together artists, Bill Patterson, Ed Justice Jr., a photographer, Fireball Tim Lawrence, a car designer, Hot Rod Von Valdez will be there. Dave Merrick, former head of Acura Styling Design, will be there. And there'll be just a bunch of stuff there. The Lions Automobilia Foundation has a huge museum down there. It's worth visiting anyway. If you haven't seen it yet, you want to see it. They basically recreated every form of racing in Southern California history, centered around Lions Drag Strip, which was just down the street from where the Lions Automobilia Foundation is now headquartered at 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard, Rancho Dominguez, California. Get your tickets at lionsautomobilia.org. So there you go. Be fun. Be a lot of fun. What else do we have here? I came across this one. I'm sorry to monopolize this whole calendar section, but I came across this and I like Italian cars. And so I'm throwing this one out there. The second annual Cars and Focaccia. Am I saying that right? Who's Italian? Nobody.
You're gonna do better than I am.
Michelle, your lady, Michelle Spencer.
My mother is purebred Italian. Okay, it's focaccia.
Focaccia. Anyway, that is at a restaurant in Long Beach called, what is it? What's the name of the restaurant? I didn't write the restaurant name.
La Parlatos. Tarila.
No, I think that means something else. The restaurant's location is 2947 East Broadway in Long Beach. That is going to be held November 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I found them on Instagram. Somebody forwarded it to me on Instagram. And it shows a guy making this real, I think a focaccia is like it's almost like a calzone, but it's a bread itself. And then they put stuff on it and it just looks delicious. It makes you want to go there and just have lunch. So if you have an Italian car or motorcycle, go down there. My goal, I'm going to have a Ducati Panigale V2 on that date. And I'm planning to ride down there and, park right out front. Because
damn.
Italian park. Right. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby.
The name of the restaurant is La Parlaccia.
Parlatos? Tarilia. Don't worry about the name of the restaurant. 2947 East Broadway in Long Beach on November 30th from 10 to 3. And we'll tell you more about that.
Yeah, we're not required to say the name of the restaurant to get into the event. Don't worry about it. But
you do not have to speak or understand Italian, but everybody loves Italian food. And there's plenty of that there and cool Italian bikes. I sent the notice to Mike Baum, who puts on all the Macanissima things and is a big booster of Italian cars in the Southern California car collector community. So maybe he'll be there too. Who knows? Let's see how much time we got. Oh, we still have a couple minutes. Bells and Vaughn, which is a body shop in Pasadena, is having, they've invited the Hot Wheels racetrack guys. It's a family who sets up a Hot Wheels racetrack. And, you know, you get to race your Hot Wheels cars down it. So that sounds kind of fun. That's going to be Friday, December 5th. And it's going to coincide with Japanese Night Car Show at Bells and Vaughn Body Shop. The address there, 200 North Allen Avenue, Bells and Vaughn Collision in Pasadena. And it's no relation to me, so I'm not getting rich off of this. But go check that one out, too.
Unlike all the other events we plug that you get rich off of, Mark.
Yeah, that's where the big money is plugging events. Who wants to read O'Gara?
With our zero sponsors.
Yes. I can read O'Gara. O'Gara Coach Sunset GT Toy Drive, December 6th. You can apply to show your car for a fee. And if they accept you, which likely they would, you can have museum admission too. So spectators are free, but they don't get a museum admission. You have to pay for that. So it would be a lot of fun. Parking's not included and it's $18. But you get to see a lot of supercars, hypercars, and rare collector vehicles hosted at the Peterson Automotive Museum. So it starts at 9 a.m. December 6th, and it's going to be a real feast for the eyes. And if you've not been to Peterson before, they've got just a great structure there. The parking structure there is perfect for these kind of vehicles and wandering around to enjoy them. So, but it is a good cause for the toy drive that supports local children and families during the holiday season. So bring not just a cool car if you're going to put a car in there, but also a new unwrapped toy to help folks out who can use that help during the holidays.
Excellent. And we have good reason to believe that since it's an O'Gara Coach event, that the entries that you see will be curated. Unlike when the Peterson does a cruise in, it's just whoever pays the money and shows up. I think O'Gara will be a little bit more selective, and they can really arrange a fantastic collection of supercars, hypercars, just things you would never see individually, let alone all together. So that's the O'Gara Coach Sunset GT Toy Drive on December 6th at the Peterson. You can go to peterson.org. Check that out. Michelle, we have a taco day coming up.
Oh, yes. What's better than Italian motorcycles and tacos? I challenge thee. Pro Italia is having its taco day first Saturday of the month, December 6th, at their store at 3319 North Verdugo in Glendale. And show up anytime after 9 a.m., get your free tacos, and check out Ducatis, Moto Guzzis, and Aprilias.
Carl, did you ever own any of those?
I owned two Ducatis when I was quite young and enjoyed them both. So I'm a big fan. And I still, on occasion, like you, get to even experience the new ones, and they just keep getting better and better. But I had a 91 Ducati 851 Superbike, and I put like 10,000 miles on that motorcycle, and it never crashed. So I'm very proud of all three of those facts, that I owned
it. Is there any wood?
I rode it.
Or a scoot wheel there to knock on?
No, there's does cardboard count? There's some cardboard here.
Cardboard is, that's good enough. Good
enough. Well, they wanted to show off their new space. They recently expanded into the shop that was next door that vacated the property. Yeah. So they have redone that space and are eager to show off their new showroom. So go check them out on December 6th.
It's like a museum up there. It's like an art installation. It's so cool. Pro Italian. We had all three of the guys on. What was it, last week or the week before, something like that?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Good guys. The shop was founded by three guys who just like motorcycles, and the previous Italian bike shop shut down, and they said we gotta keep something going, so they started their own shop, Pro Italia. And go check it out. Pro Italia Taco Day, we're calling it. Saturday, December 6th at 3319 North Verdugo. And again, we're not getting any money from any of these people. But you can go hang out. Tell them, you know, the car show. You tell them you heard them on the car show. And you just before you purchase your $27,000 Ducati.
There you go. Tell them you want go ahead.
We're out of time for the calendar. We're going to march straight into the news, and it's a little bit, it's not really news anymore. It's a week old, but the Baja 1000, they just ran it in. They started out in the dry, finished in the mud, and it was won by, you know, in the 1000, almost everybody has a co-driver. So these guys both drove it. Local Southern California boy in his first win ever in score competition. He wins the Baja 1000. Christopher Polvorde. I'm saying that wrong. P-O-L-V-O-O-R-D-E. Sounds like Dutch, maybe. He co-drove with Las Vegas resident Bryce Menzies in, you know, what was branded a Ford Raptor trophy truck. To win the race. And it was kind of interesting because he was running along in second with 25 miles to go. And the guy in first place ran out of gas. It was really sad. Toby Price, an Australian, just pulled over and stopped. And there are clips on Instagram of his co-driver hanging out the window as they're coming to a stop in the middle of nowhere. And there were actually people there. And he yells out, "We need gas, gas." And then you hear all these guys going, "Gasolina, gasolina." So he eventually got some gas. I think he finished sixth or something. But he's going to win the whole thing. What?
Yeah. Crikey.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, crikey. Oh, okay. Yes, indeed. Crikey, indeed. But there is no crikey in the used car market. Carl, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm the executive analyst at iccars.com, a great website for finding both car listings across the country and lots of guidance on buying cars. And just as an example, we have released our newest study that we do, these studies every couple of weeks, trying to help out consumers. And this one tells you the best time of the year to buy a used car. And the good news is we just entered that best time of year. It's consistently pretty much every year between like November and March as a general rule. If you want a very simple rule to remember, the lower the average temperature is in any given city, the lower the price you'll pay for a used car, and vice versa. So when we look at specific dates and holidays and months, which we did in this study, and we rank them, you see that what's interesting is we look at how many cars are out there. We know the kind of appropriate transaction price that you should pay for a given used car. So if a car is more than 10% marked below that, it's considered by us a good deal. On any given day, on average throughout the calendar year, there are 13.7 good deals out there on any given day. But during the winter months, that number goes much higher. For instance, on MLK Day, the best day to buy a used car, it's 65.5% higher than that. There's that many more good deals than so. It's not, it gets mathy and it gets scary. But if normally it's 13.7%, there's 65% more. So if it was 50%, there'd be like 20 because that'd be half of 13. And it's more than that. So, anyways, there's far more deals on used cars on MLK Day. And then the second best day is New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. They're the same. And then the whole month of January and President's Day, February. Those are the top five. And we have the top 10 listed. But even Halloween is in the top 10. Thanksgiving's in the top 10. Top 10. December's in the top 10. Basically, November 1st to like March 31st, you're in the good time of year for finding deals on used cars. And conversely, the worst time of year to buy a car, the entire month of June, there's 22.8% fewer deals. And then July 4th, it's 22.4%. And May, it's 22.2%. And July, it's 22.1%. It's like a big tie, four-way tie for the worst times. But that's June, May, July, and July 4th. Those are the worst times to buy a used car. And it makes sense when you think about it, because weather gets warm, especially in the cold parts of the country, it's much more fun to go walk used car lots and car lots in general. And people are thinking, oh, here comes the summer. I want a new ride. I want to go have vacations. I want to have a car to drive and explore the world. So it's not like there aren't good reasons to buy a used car as the summer ramps up. And it's not like there are good reasons not to buy a used car when you're dealing with family coming in to visit you in the wintertime and it's cold and you're buying a bunch of holiday gifts and you don't have extra money left over to buy a used car. But if you can afford a used car and make it happen closer to the end of the year, or, you know, especially between like Christmas and Martin Luther King Day, you're going to have more deal options. And if you get sucked into buying a used car when it's most likely makes sense and you feel like you want to go buy a used car somewhere between, say, May 15th and the end of July, you're going to have less deals to choose from. The dealers know this, okay? They're struggling to get people on the lot in December, January, February, and they're lowering prices to do it. And that's what our data reflects. And they're not struggling. Now, you'll still see July 4th sale, great deals and stuff like that. Well, that's what they always say to get you on the lot. And there's not really as many good deals on July 4th as there is on Martin Luther King Day. So anyways, now, you can see the full study at IC Cars.
Yeah, this data comes, it's a national, it covers the whole country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we look at a bunch of cars.
Here in Southern California, where the weather is always sunny and everything's perfect and everybody's beautiful?
So the weather doesn't have as much of a play here, although we've had various amounts of rains in the last week, as you guys know. So even that, even in California, it wasn't as fun to go to lots in recent days because it was raining on you the whole time. But you still have all those other things too. You still have people, you know, a lot of people right now are getting ready for Thanksgiving and they're worrying about family coming in, or they're traveling to go to Thanksgiving somewhere, or they're getting their budgets for Christmas presents and they're decorating all like that. It's just not as good a time as common of time to go buy a used car for most people. And the dealers see that. They see foot traffic to their lots drop off these months and they have to offer better deals to get people in. So it all makes sense when you think about it. And again, if you can break the trend of buying a car, used car, when it seems like at least convenient for you to do it, guess what? That's the same for everyone. And you're going to have more deal options because dealers are trying to get you in there. And if you go buy a used car when it's easiest for you to do, it's warm, summer's coming, you're thinking about all the road trips you want to do, you can do that, but you're going to have less deals to choose from.
Is it the same with new cars?
Roughly the same. We didn't look at new cars in this study, but we do look at those too. And new cars are generally the same thing because a lot of those same factors, you know, temperature, distractions from holidays, you know, going to working and stuff like that, not thinking about vacations and spending money and all in the warm months. So new cars do also have a similar pattern. But I'm glad you brought that up because very briefly, real quick, the new car days on market, that means how long the car sits before it's sold on a lot for new cars, still pretty tight. And it's not much different from last year, probably because I think that manufacturers are getting better at kind of controlling the production and making sure they're getting a high profit per model versus having too many out there and losing profit per sale. Used cars, on the other hand, the days on market, how long these used cars are sitting, the last 3 months were the longest of the year, 45 to 53 days over the last 3 months, how long an average used car sits. That compares to like 30 days a year ago. So a lot of people are talking about economy and what's going on and fears about recession like that. I don't know what metric you want to look at, but I can tell you from our data, used cars are sitting around longer than they used to before they get off the lot. And that means people are not buying them as quickly and dealers are having to work harder to sell them. So this would be a good time of year. Yeah, yeah. Between the cars sitting on the lot and the cold months, again, you shouldn't just go buy a car because it's a good time to buy a car. You should buy one because you need one. But if you happen to need or it makes sense for you to buy a used car in the next like 2 to 3 months, this would be a good time to do it.
If anybody wants to buy a Lancia Appia, I have one. So call me up and I'm dealing. I'm making deals. All right. Speaking of hot deals, we have Hot Wheels, the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. You guys remember the Hot Wheels Legends Tour?
Oh, yes. I've actually been to it once.
Very cool.
It was somebody came up with a marketing idea at from that. We have now had since 2018, I believe, they do a global search of full-size cool cars, and they pick one out of what they claim are thousands of entries from around the world. And it literally is around the world. There's Latin America, there's Europe, there's the Middle East, there's Africa. There are just cars from around the world that they look at and vote on and pick which car, one of all those cars will be picked to make a diecast. What is the scale? 1/63rd for
1/64th.
Is 63rd. That's like a prime number or something. No, well, 1/64th. No, it's not a prime number. Okay. 1/64th scale diecast collectible is what they're going to make. And they, after this year's search, they found one, and they found one in Poland by Paweł Zarnecki. He built a custom Fiat 126B, which he converted into a WRC, World Rally car. And that is this year's winner. He did all kinds of stuff to it. He took the Fiat Uno 1.4 turbo, if you can believe it, that's the engine in this thing. He made it crank out 200 horsepower. He paired that with a Nissan 200SX GT28 turbocharger. That's how he got 200 horsepower out of it. He built a Fiat Punto GT gearbox, and it certainly looks like a rally car. It looks like Lancia Delta Integrale a little bit. You can see pictures at autoweek.com if you want to check that out. And other runners up this year, there was one guy from the United States, Clint Devine. He had a Chevy S10 pickup truck, which he built. It's supposed to have, according to Mattel, striking patina, or patina, however you want to say that word, and a Western style hauler bed. Another car, Jesus, in his Chevy S10. I don't know
what's a hauler bed.
A hauler bed is what you get when a PR guy writes a press release and doesn't know what a truck bed is.
I know hauler back.
Hauler back. You ain't no hauler back girl, are you? Jesus Daniel Payan of Mexico also did a pickup truck. He converted the VW Beetle into a pickup truck. So those are two of the runners up. So anyway, we have a winner. It is from Poland, a Fiat 126B. I know you were dying to know about that.
So yeah, was that in your bingo card? It wasn't on mine. So
sounds like he was pretty creative on what he like cobbled together. He rated exactly. From other vehicles.
He 3D printed some stuff, right? Some parts for that car. He spent 2,500 hours building the car and 800 hours 3D printing parts to build the car. Wow. So, I mean, just on for hard work, he should
A for effort for sure. Yeah.
And I don't know if you make any money off that. I think. Maybe you do.
I think there is some prize money. I'm trying to remember, but the last time I went was like 5 years ago. So
you should get like a penny per car sold. Every one of those 1/64th scale things that gets sold, you should get a penny per.
So yes, hopefully he has a good lawyer who will get the royalties.
Michelle, you could represent him.
Yes,
that's it. I need to reach out to Poland. Nine.
That's not even Polish.
Oh, yeah.
Proving she doesn't speak Polish. Yes.
Apparently not. All right.
Next news item, the governing board of LAX, that is our airport. Has anybody ever gotten in and out of LAX without wanting to, I don't know, throw up your hands?
Kill someone?
I just throw up generally, but yes, no, exactly.
Bring your barf bags because.
You don't need them for the plane ride. You need them for the airport process.
Yeah, just getting in and out of that place, man. It's my goodness.
Horrible.
But here's what they're going to do. They're going to spend $1.5 billion with a B to build just an elevated roadway that goes into the horseshoe. They're not going to improve the horseshoe at all. You know, the horseshoe is where you go from terminals 1 through terminal 7 in a U-shaped road that,
is the worst piece of pavement in LA. And that's saying a lot. Because there's a lot of places you don't want to drive your car in LA. And the worst one is the horseshoe in LAX.
It is.
Carl is totally right.
It is. But what they're going to do is they're going to build a nice elevated road, a couple of roads, to get more cars jammed into that without actually expanding the roadway. Now, if I were the product planner here, I would say add a third level of car into that. Or maybe three or four of them. I don't know. Stack them up sky high. I know it's a radical notion, but why not have a public transportation system that actually works right now? When I have to go to or from LAX, I take the flyaway bus from Union Station. And, that goes down the carpool lane, down the Harbor Freeway and on the 105 and eventually finds itself into the horseshoe with all the other cars. maybe that's better. I think that might be better. I mean,
that's the least painful way to do it for sure. You found the best way to do a very bad situation.
Well, I've tried everything because you can park a motorcycle in those parking structures right at the terminal for free, as long as you don't take up a space, because there are lots of little triangular spaces that aren't being used. And you can just park a motorcycle there for free. I've done that many times and never had a problem with anything getting stolen. There are a lot of solutions that
that don't involve piping more cars into the area. Right. That's for sure.
On KNX, they say always use the if you're actually going to go when it's crowded. If you have to go pick somebody up, for example, just use you don't have to use the departures to drop someone off. You can actually go in the arrivals, which is the lower level.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Usually depending that's less crowded. Time.
Yeah. Depending on time of day, you assume that people are arriving in the evenings and departing in the morning. So if you keep that in mind and you go on the opposite level, you can maybe get in there. Mm-hmm. I know that with my flyaway bus, I'm always flying United. I don't know why, but that's Terminal 7. So the smart thing is to get off at Terminal 1 and just walk over, because last time I did it was literally 30 or 40 minutes for the bus to get through the congested horseshoe there. So
it is so bad.
I'm glad you said horseshoe. I thought you were going to say something else, but yes, that's what it is.
That other horse stuff too.
It's definitely that kind of experience, kind of experience.
LAX, baby. It's more than
full grateful cloud of Orange County. John Wayne.
More bad dad jokes, but LAX, it's kind of pretty lax on its ability to get people in and out.
You should have to, what penalty can we give him? Carl, you have to read the LA parking meters story. That bad joke. Go ahead. LA parking meters.
Do I have to? All right.
Yes.
They changed their hours and rates are going into effect by the end of the year. Meter prices will increase by 50 cents an hour. Currently, the rates start at $1 an hour and tap out at $8.50 an hour, depending on the meter location. The LA City Council has approved extending the hours to include Sundays, which were previously free. Meters in, quote, nightlife areas will require payment until midnight. They used to be free after 8 p.m. There's a budget shortfall. I've never heard that before in Los Angeles or California. Anyways, there is a budget shortfall that the LA city leaders are hoping to close with this kind of increased fees. It comes just as the city of Santa Monica recently increased its metered parking rates from $2.50 an hour to $3 an hour in its downtown area and $150 an hour in other parts of Santa Monica. So I said earlier, this is the car capital of the world. And that's in spite of it being extremely car unfriendly in increasing ways in this city and state. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion.
This was the first increase in parking fees in 10 years in the city of LA. It sounds like a lot. I mean, $8.50 people from out of state are probably thinking, why would you earn $8.50 an hour to park anywhere? Yeah. But that's,
I picture the European tourists come in and they think, oh, we will just get on the light rail, which will be inside the terminal. It will be no problem.
No,
you gotta get on your, you have to get on one bus that takes you to another place that might get you onto something, might not, and it's not going to go anywhere.
And if you're lucky, big air quotes, you'll get to your rental car agency, pick up your car, and only pay between $1 and $5 an hour to park it anywhere because it's $8.50 and if you go to certain areas, but you know, only $1. Well, actually, right. $1.50 because it said the base was $1 was the cheapest, and now it's going up 50%. Because even the cheapest will be $1.50 an hour. So
yeah, and the good old Hermosa Beach, which is my hometown, is also increasing its metered parking. And of course, you know, I love to trash the city of Hermosa Beach. You know, it's run by complete morons. But they really depend on tourist people coming into town to help the coffers of the city. And so now it's going to be $3 per hour to park by the beach. Thank you very much, Hermosa.
Well, Hermosa Beach's defense, there is that big parking structure down there, not far from the pier, about a block or two from the pier.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's you can free. Always. It's free?
Yes.
When did that happen?
Well, I was there for Memorial Day.
And it's free to park there?
Yes.
The public parking. That's considered the public parking. But if you park on the street anywhere, then
park
it's
on the street. And that's the metered parking. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There you go. The thing is that parking structure fills up really fast. It's
right.
Not
as it's free. You should charge money.
Well, that's probably their next move is by next summer. They'll probably start charging.
By the way, there's electric chargers in that parking garage in Hermosa Beach too. I've used them and they work pretty well. So
good.
Is it worked? What manufacturer is there? What company is it that you remember?
It was like 2 years ago, Mark. It might've been, it was either ChargePoint or Electrify America. It was one of the ones that we've all heard of.
Yeah. ChargePoint works. Electrify America sometimes works. So
there you go.
I think it was ChargePoint and it did work.
Yeah. Okay. ChargePoint is great. You get near the charger with your phone and things start going bloop, 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 and charging, and it's great.
Things start happening, and you're like, whoa.
I like it.
Not that anyone's tracking our movement in this country at all, but anyways, yes, it does.
They're controlling my brain right now. I know it. They're using it parking meters for doing it. Okay.
Well, let's hope they do a reboot soon on your
brain.
So
I could really use one.
See if they have what is it called? The air updates, the over-the-air
over-the-air.
Maybe over-the-air update while during the show break, Mark.
I could take one. Who wants to read California record number zero and low emission vehicles bought in Q3? Michelle, was that you? That was you.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I wanted to just this is an LA Times article, actually. It came out in the end of October by Tony Briscoe, a staff writer, and he said that Californians bought a record number of zero emissions and PHEVs, which are plug-in hybrids, in the third quarter of this year. And apparently, here's the math, 124,700 units were purchased from July 1st to September 30th. And, you know, to dovetail on the IC Cars study that Carl just was discussing, this is the slow time of the year. So this is really interesting. The sales figures came from California Energy Commission, and they have been tracking these numbers since the year 2008.
Michelle, was this a result of the $7,500 federal tax credit expiring?
Well, that's exactly what Mr. Briscoe said in his article, is that this is what generated people to get off the couch and go to buy an EV or a plug-in hybrid. So, and this was also very common knowledge as of July through September that the state of California was not going to be doing anything to pick up the slack. So it was, you better go. It'll save you some money. And
so we should look at sales figures at the end of the year and see what's there.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see what quarter four has. And so we'll get those numbers, what, Carl, like in January?
Yeah, we'll get them in January. But I mean, I heard already that we were at 13% new vehicle market share for EVs in September, which was like the best it ever was. And then we were at like, was it 5.5%? In October, supposedly. I could go check. But anyways, it's it kind of fell off a bit in
there was a spike. October.
Yes. So what will be interesting to see is where it settles in. And I think we'll know by like February, March, where we'll kind of be past the impact where you pull forward, as they say, a bunch of sales because you know your incentive's going away. So people who might have bought an EV or PHEV in the next 6 months ran out and bought it now because they wanted to get the incentive. And then all those buyers got pulled into September, and then none of them showed up in October and November or December because they were pulled in early. So it should regulate to a normal, sustainable level by like January or February, and we'll see where it settles in.
That's great. And then Mr. Briscoe, final thought on this one. He said that the top EV in California is still Tesla, based on his data that he got.
So that's for a new EV?
New EV per circuit.
Yes, new EVs. Amongst all new EVs, Tesla remains California's top-selling EV by maker.
And they all now have the "I bought this before Elon was crazy" or some kind of sticker like that?
Well, yeah, that comes with the vehicle.
I was going to say, yeah, the dealers are slapping those on as the new vehicle goes out.
I am not a Nazi. Basically.
Are you? I'm in the club of, I'm flipping off all of the Cybertrucks I see too, by the way.
You just flip them off. No questions asked.
I love to flip them off, especially in the Miata with the top deck.
I read a thing that you only ever see a single male driving it. You never see anybody riding.
Truth? 100%. I've been looking. I always look at the driver. I want to know who is driving these things.
We are bashing Tesla here. Okay, so we'll go from bashing Tesla to another electric car vehicle maker that Carl drove. Carl, what did you drive?
And we are not bashing this one, please. Just
okay.
To be clear. No, I drove the brand new Polestar 4, which is their newest entry in their model line. And Polestar is interesting, you know, because they're kind of division of or a component of the Volvo Motor Group, which is owned by a Chinese car company, or actually just a Chinese ginormous company that owns a lot of stuff called Geely. So the Polestar is kind of, the Polestar brand is was the performance division of Volvo for years, and now it's their electric only car division. And you can maybe guess how many models they've introduced so far. This one is called the Polestar 4. That's your hint. So it's neat though, because like they had the cars and then they had tried to have kind of an SUV, but this one is like this combo. It's really a station wagon. It looks like a station wagon, but it looks like a very stylish station wagon. So a lot of people feel like the Panamera Gran Turismo, which was the station wagon version of the otherwise four-door Porsche, is the best looking version of that car. And I kind of agree. Well, I think this is the best looking version so far of all the Polestars, because it's kind of a cool looking station wagon. And it'll get 268 horsepower if it's rear wheel drive, or it'll get 544 horsepower if it's the dual motor all wheel drive. And it can get to from 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds if it's the dual motor one. And the distance it'll go if it's a single motor, which always gets better distance because you have less motors you're powering, will go 280 miles. And the dual motor one, single motor one will go 310 miles, the longer range because it's only one motor. And the dual motor one, which is faster but gets less range, like all of them, goes 280, which isn't bad for an all-wheel drive 3.7 second 0-60 electric car that's the size of this one and the space and the cool styling of this one. So I liked it. I thought it was a fun car to drive, and it's got a functional cargo space and plenty fast and cool looking. So if you're looking for an electric car that's brand new to the market that just came out and looks good and is fast but still has practicality like a station wagon does, then you should consider a Polestar 4. And they start at a relatively reasonable price too, $54,000-$55,000, mid 50s, for that rear drive motor one, the single motor one. The dual motor one is $62,000-$63,000. So somewhere between 57, call it, and 63, 64 with destination. You can get either the single or dual motor one, and then you can get options like performance wheels and other things too. But you should at least look. Oh, and one interesting thing I want to say about it, it's got a big screen in the middle, like every modern car. And a lot of the earlier Polestars I drove, they were kind of lethargic. You would hit the button, you'd hit the screen. It would seem like it would take multiple punches to get it to respond. I think they heard feedback. This one was fast. Every time I touched the screen, it did what I wanted it to do. I didn't have to keep punching it like earlier Polestars. And this car has no rear window. There's no way to see out the back of the car, but it has a rear camera mounted back there. And a lot of times it's kind of weird. You use those digital rear cameras and then the proportions and stuff seem weird and it's hard to use them. They did a good job of avoiding that. It looks like a normal proportion and normal vision when you look in the rearview mirror, which is really using a camera and you're not actually seeing what's back there except from what the camera sees. So looks good. Rearview mirror makes it okay that it doesn't have a rear window. That was well executed. And it's from Sweden. Technically it's from Japan as the ownership, but these cars are built in Sweden and sold in Sweden. And then it's like, what happens when it snows, right, for that camera? But they say that it's like designed the way the air goes over the car and stuff, that it should like almost self-clean that camera and keep it from ever having blockage from weather.
So, yeah, sure.
I'm sure it works that way, Mark.
I'm sure it works because they said it works that way.
Yes, that's what they told me.
The very first Polestar was that really cool coupe that just it was a quite the stunning looker. It drove well too. The Polestar 2 was just that ungainly. I almost said ungodly, but I didn't. I said ungainly shape. It just looked just way too awkward. It drove very nicely. I enjoyed driving that. And it looks like they are getting better with every new model that comes out. And if you look at the Polestar 5, which is, even bigger and fancier and more expensive, that looks really nice. And I've seen the Cabriolet, the convertible version, and that's just quite stunning. So, they're moving in the right direction. And Carl, you said it was made in Japan. It's made in China, right? Or made in Sweden, but it's owned by the Chinese company Geely.
Exactly. Yeah. It's still Swedish if you consider where the cars are produced and who's running it. And all the designers, all the people that you meet from Polestar, they all come from Sweden, not China. But the controlling company at the top of the org chart for them technically is Geely in China. And I think just kind of like how is it Rattan? What's the name of the company?
Rattan Tata was
Tata. Yes,
Tata is the
Tata is his last name, and sort of like for now type thing. But Tata owns Jaguar and Land Rover, but they didn't. Those cars still feel British. They didn't feel like they got turned into Indian cars. Well, the Polestars don't feel Chinese. They feel Swedish in every way. The inside, the outside, the design, people doing it. So we all have our opinions of China. I'll just say that if they want to fund non-Chinese brands and let them continue to reflect non-Chinese characteristics, like the Jaguars, Land Rovers, and Polestars, and the Polos, because they want the Polo too, I'm all for that. I'm totally fine with it.
You're breaking up there, Carl. You're breaking up. You got to pay your internet bill every month, not just every other month. I think we lost him. He's completely frozen. Carl, can we... No, he's just making, it's a strange sound that he's coming from him. He's not his voice anymore. Well, it was nice knowing Carl, Carl Brower. Carl, if you come back, we're welcome. You're welcome here. All is forgiven. In the meantime, he's still frozen. He's frozen on the screen. In the meantime, I will talk about I had a Genesis G90 just recently. Now, Genesis, of course, is a sort of the luxury outgrowth, a brand of Hyundai. And they, we lost Carl completely. It was nice knowing Carl. He was a good man, a kind man. But anyway, so they have really grown in their what they offer. Genesis, of course, was the name of a single Hyundai car. And then way back when, Hyundai in Korea made the Equus, which I got to drive here in the U.S. That was a real luxury vehicle. And that was a long time ago when that thing was out. But I really enjoyed cruising around in that because there was no badging on it. It said Equus on the back, but it didn't say Hyundai or anything else. And it had this weird, it was almost like the Packard Swan on the I almost said the bow, but
actually it's a cormorant, but we will forgive you.
Okay. Thank you. And it looked and it drove really nicely, really coolly. I really enjoyed having that for the time that I did have it. And now here we go. Genesis is now, of course, its own luxury brand, just the way Lexus is part of Toyota. And, you know, everybody else has something like this set up. Acura is part of Honda, et cetera, et cetera. So this one here is really like sort of the S-class of Hyundai. It's really nicely put together. I'm quite happy. I was quite happy driving it. It looks really nice. The very first time I got to get in this thing, I think was about 2 years ago, Genesis sponsored the golf tournament at the LA, I think it was the LA Open, which used to be a Nissan deal, but then it's now Genesis. And so they had one parked there and I got to sit inside of it and everything. And it felt really nice. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was really impressed with that. And, Carl's back. Carl, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know what happened.
You know what you could have done, Carl, just before that happened, you should have grabbed your chest and like just keeled over out of sight. And then it goes like that. That would have been more exciting. But anyway, so I'm talking about the Genesis G90 and I really like that there are, It's only a 3.5 liter twin turbo V6, and you would expect something that big and something that occupies that position in the hierarchy of this luxury brand to have, I don't know, a V12 in it or something, or at least a V8. But, it, you know, the power was more than adequate. It got up and got on its own way. I was happy with that. A couple of weird things about it. The key fob will drive you completely insane, because it has these little tiny, maybe this is an old guy thing, but it has these little tiny buttons and you can't see, there's on both sides of it, it has identical buttons, but only one side does it have the unlock and lock feature. And so you don't know what it is. So you're holding it out there at arm's length. You know, the average buyer of this is, you know, about my age, can't see it. So that was silly. I did not like the rotary shifter, which is also in the GV80. And the pricing is, you know, you're into six figures once you get one of these out the door. It's very, but it is quite comfortable, and I enjoyed it. So we're almost out of time here. We have about 30 seconds left. So what do we want to tell people in these 30 seconds? Michelle, what, again, is our Facebook page that Michelle, our social media mogul, Michelle, what do we got?
Well, you can go to Facebook and find us at The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM.
Very good. And you'll see pictures of the cars that we discussed here today. And you can see, you know, you can listen to us anytime you want at kpfk.org. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black. Great music. Sounds great on your car stereo. And it really does. I'm not just saying that. And we will be back next week on The Car Show.
It's one thing to love public radio, but it's a special thing to support it. Consider this. If you've got a car you don't need anymore, or you've got one that is simply too expensive to repair, arrange to donate it to KPFK. It's easy for you, pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Thanks in advance, and here is how to get started. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That is 1-877-KPFK-AUTO. And learn more.
ICE is escalating deportation operations around the Los Angeles area. But if you are stopped by ICE officers, you have constitutional rights, regardless of your immigration status. If you or someone you know has been detained